Well, would you turn in your Bibles to our Old Covenant reading this morning, Psalm 110, and we're going to stand for the reading of God's holy and inspired word, Psalm 110. Listen to God's word. A Psalm of David. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely in the day of your power in holy garments from the womb of the morning. The dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings in the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way, therefore he will lift up his head. Amen. And now would you turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. We're going to begin our series through the Gospel of John this morning. And we'll be looking this morning at the first three verses, but let's read the first five verses of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you have not left us groping in the darkness, but you have given us your word that we may know you, that we may know your Son, that we may know the way of salvation, that we may live rightly to the glory of your name, and thank you for it this morning. And as we consider your word, and as we consider your Son, we pray, O God, that you would be glorified. And we pray, O Lord, that you would speak to each and every person that is here this morning. You have brought us here, O Lord. We're not here by accident or happenstance. O God, would you speak to us? Would you penetrate our minds and our hearts, and show us Christ. We pray, asking for the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There is a question that should pique the interest of every single human being, and it's this: who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? This is a question that should be important even to the most ardent atheist. After all, we define our date by the year that he was born. He has had more impact on the history of the world than any other person. Millions and millions and millions of people follow Christ. Millions and millions have suffered and died for his sake. Lives are transformed by him. Empires are transformed by him. I think of the Roman Empire when Constantine came to Christ. Or I think of mainland Europe when Martin Luther discovered Christ in the gospel. This surely should be a question that piques the interest of even the most hostile, even the most ardent atheist. Who is Jesus? But for us here this morning who are Christians, this is the king of questions, isn't it? We love him. We follow him. We confide in him. We rest in him. We give our money to him. We give our time to him. His teachings undergird our morality and our worldview. He overrides every facet of our identity. Am I a father? Am I a husband? Am I a pastor? Am I a Scot? Yes, I'm all these things, but more than any of that, I am Christ's. Paul said that I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. If we believe that, we count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord, then this is the king of questions, isn't it? Who is he? Who is Jesus? And that's the purpose of the Gospel of John. That's what John wants you to know, and that's what he wants us to know as we go through this gospel, Lord's Day by Lord's Day. Who is Jesus? He wants us to know him, and that by believing in him, we would have life in his name. And so this morning we're going to begin by looking at the first three verses as we begin to seek to answer this question, who is Jesus? And so four things from these opening three verses. Who is Jesus? Well, first of all, we see in these verses that Jesus is eternal. Jesus is eternal. Look again at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Brothers and sisters, there was a beginning. And in the beginning, and behind the beginning, and before the beginning was the Word. That is Jesus. Jesus says the same thing himself in chapter 17, verse 5, that even before the creation of the world, he shared the glory of the Father. One man said, in the beginning, there was someone who had no beginning. On the line of history, if history starts at point A when God created the world and ends at point B when Jesus comes again to wrap things up, on the line of history, Jesus is not on the line. He created the line. He upholds the line. He directs the line. He even visited the line, but he's not bound by the line. He's not subject to the line. He transcends the line. He precedes the line. Before the world began, Jesus was already there. Now let's talk for a moment about St. Nick. Who is this man that we have come to call Santa? Is he just a fat man who wears a red suit and promotes materialism? Who is Santa? Well, in AD 325, some chaps, followers of a man called Arius, came along the Council of Nicaea and said that Jesus had a beginning. Jesus may be a God, but he's not the eternal God. Jesus is a created being, they said. And Santa, that is Nicholas of Myra, and the other early church fathers came along and said, that's nonsense. Jesus is eternal. Jesus is eternal God. And so I say to you this morning, do not let the Russellites, I call them Russellites, they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, but they've not seen God and they don't know God. Do not let the Russellites tell you that Jesus is subject to time, that Jesus is a created being. He is from everlasting to everlasting. I've been listening, particularly this last few weeks, to Handel's Messiah. And I love that hallelujah chorus, and he shall reign forever and ever, and he shall reign forever and ever. And you'd be forgiven if you were tempted to think, you know, he will reign forever and ever. Going forward, he's going to reign forever and ever. And that's true. But brothers and sisters, he's always reigned. He has reigned from eternity. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He had no beginning. He didn't begin to reign because he's not subject to the line. He transcends time and space. Jesus is eternal. And you know, we can get so bogged down by our point, our phase on the line of history. My frustration is that people are talking as if we've entered into some uncharted territory. You know, like there's never been political corruption, there's never been epidemics and disease, there's never been sexual deviancy. And sometimes when we look around out there, we can get disheartened and we can get bogged down. And sometimes when we look at our own individual lives, we can get so bogged down and disheartened. And you know, it can actually threaten our resting and our reliance upon Jesus Christ. And I say to you this morning that Jesus isn't just a man from 2,000 years ago. And he's not even just a man who spans the age of the earth. Jesus is eternal. He is forever. He never began. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He has lived and he has reigned forever and ever. And you remember that when you look at the social political landscape. You remember that when you look at your own life, that he is eternal God and he transcends the line. Genesis chapter 1, we read, in the beginning, God. And we understand that in the beginning and even before the beginning was God. And in John chapter 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and we understand that he precedes the beginning. He is from eternity. Who is Jesus? Jesus is eternal. Second, Jesus was with God. Look again at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now that preposition with, you could literally translate it towards. Some translations actually say face to face. He was face to face with God. Verse 18 gives us a wee bit more information. It says that he was at the Father's side. Now, Muslims accuse us of being polytheists, of having more than one God. And that's not true. We have one God. There is only one God. And yet here we see that he is more than one person. Jesus is not the Father, and yet he has this ineffable union with the Father. Jesus can say, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. He can say, I and the Father are one. He can say, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. We have one God, but he's three persons. And these three persons are the same in substance. And yet they're distinct. And yet they're undivided. There are many glorious and practical implications to this. And I, Lord willing, hopefully we will consider them as we go through the Gospel of John. But for now, I just want you to note that from eternity, Jesus has been with the Father. So Jesus is eternal. Jesus was with God. Thirdly, Jesus is God. Look again at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. Now, there's a reason why we translate it, the Word was God. But when you're actually looking at the Greek, it actually says, and God was the Word. Both are true. The Word was God. God was the Word. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is not a created being. He's not even just a superman. He is the same substance as the Father. He is one being with the Father. He is very God of very God. There is no God who is unlike Christ. When we contemplate God, we contemplate Jesus. And when we contemplate Jesus, we contemplate God. You may be here this morning and you're wondering, who is God? What is God like? Rob, give me a handle on who God is. Tell me something of who God is. And I say to you, look at Jesus in the Bible. That's who God is. Jesus is the revelation of God. That's why he's called the Logos, the Word. He's not just an emanation of God. He doesn't just make known to us the love and grace and power and majesty and glory of God. He is God. Jesus is God. Do you want to know what God is like? You can look at creation and you can hear the thunder and be reminded of the power of God. You can see the waves coming in and out and in and out and be reminded of the eternality of God. You can build a snowman and the snowman was rubbish, but I gave it a try. You can build a snowman. You can look at the whiteness of the snow and be pointed to the purity of God. But you know, that's not enough. I want to know more of his nature. I want to know more of his character. I want to know of his purposes in creation. And the answer is, look at Jesus. Verse 18, no one has ever seen God, the only God, that is Jesus, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Jesus is God. Jesus is the exact imprint of his nature. Do not let the Muslims tell you that Jesus is just a prophet. Do not let the Arians try to make out as if Jesus is just a mere facilitator of your salvation. Do not let the Russellites try to strip him of his deity. Listen to St. Nick and to the other fathers. And to the Bible, the Word was God. And this weaves throughout chapter after chapter after chapter of the Gospel of John. He has the attributes of God. When he's omnipotent, for example, as he raises Lazarus from the dead. He does the works of God, as we'll see in a moment. He created the world. He has the names of God. He's worshipped as God. In chapter 5, he claims to be equal with God. And on it goes, and it's driving us towards this climax in chapter 20, when Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." Literally, "My Lord and the God of me." When we see him, we see God. And when we think of God, we think of him because Jesus Christ is God. He is the immutable, immense, infinite, incomprehensible, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, holy, infinitely wise, all-sufficient, independent, transcendent, perfect, sovereign, creator, God. Jesus is God. He is eternal. He was with God. And he is God. And finally, we see in verse 3 that Jesus created all things. Look again at verse 3. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. It's the question, isn't it? How did this world come into existence? Why did this world come into existence? Humanity has been groping in the darkness. I think of Stephen Hawking, who spent his life trying to answer these two questions. How did the world come into existence? And why? And he died, 2 years ago? Still didn't know the answer. And you can add to that Stephen Dawkins and countless others. But the Bible gives us the answer. By him, all things were created in heaven and on earth. All things were created through him and for him. That's the answer. Now, some will say that we evolved over time. That is nonsense. I got off Facebook for months, but I got back on. I reactivated my account to find this quote that I'm about to give you, so you better enjoy it. My friend wrote this, speaking of evolution. He said, "Take your car apart piece by piece. Put it all in a giant cement mixer and spin the mixer until a fully functioning car pops back out." That right there, in a nutshell, is the theory of evolution. Except that under the theory of evolution, you don't have to explain where the original car, the mixer, or the energy to run it came from. Evolution is nonsense. And some people say, "Oh, well, you know, it's a result, it's all from a big bang." That doesn't say anything. What banged when the big bang banged? Where did that come from? It's nonsense. We just have to have a glance at creation. We just have to look at the human body. The average human has anywhere from 60,000 to 100,000 blood vessels, which apparently have laid out side by side stretches around the world 3 to 4 times. The human nose can pick up 1 trillion smells. The human eyes have 2 million working parts. And all, you can Google all the facts yourself. I don't need any facts. I just need to look at my little daughter's face. I just look at Gwyneth's face. Don't tell me that's a result of a big bang. It's nonsense. Jesus is the unmade maker. Jesus laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning. He created it all. He created every atom and molecule. He created the laws of gravity. He created everything from the majestic lion to the minuscule insect. He created it all. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, yes, Jesus is our Savior. But do not forget that He is your Creator. Don't have this, maybe even subconsciously, don't have it in your head that you come on Sunday to worship Jesus and then the rest of the week you go back to the real world. This is His world. It's the work of His hands. It's His handiwork. When you see creation, remember it's Jesus' creation. Remember the hymn, "Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green, something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen." Christless eyes don't see creation properly, but we do. Because we know that He created it and that He made it for His glory and that it points to Him and that He wants us to enjoy it. We know, as John Calvin put it, that we can't even open our eyes without being compelled to behold Him because it's His creation. We see things properly. You know, today is exactly 4 years and 1 week since we moved to America. And even now, it just seems like everything is different. I'm not saying it's worse. I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying it's different. The feel is different. The accents are different. The weather is definitely different and better. The houses are different. Everything is just different. Even if it's just subtle, it's different. That's our experience of creation. Everything is different. Everything is wonderful because we know it's Christ's creation and we behold Him in it. Who is Jesus? He is eternal. He was with God. He is God, and He created all things. And that's what John is doing here in this gospel. He's driving us forward to see Christ and to get to that moment when we say with Thomas, "My Lord and the God of me." John wants you to know Him. I will say this controversially, perhaps. John doesn't want you to know a system of doctrine first and foremost, although I'm sure he wants that. John doesn't want you to have a robust biblical worldview first and foremost, although I'm sure he wants that. John wants you to know Him, that you would fear Him, that you would enjoy Him, and that by believing in Him, you would have life in His name. And so I say to you this morning, swell your thoughts of Him. Fill your mind with Him. Fill your heart with Him. Taste something of His glory. You know, it's like I can close my eyes and I can transport myself back to this place in Wales called Southern Down that I used to go to a lot. And it's like I can close my eyes and put myself there. I remember so vividly the walking along the cliff tops with the sea glistening in the sun. Just pretend there's some sun there. And the wildflowers and the sheep grazing, and there's just the smell and the breeze on your face and the clouds drifting, and it's like, this is glorious. Jesus is glorious. Jesus is the Lord of glory. And I say to you, He is your eternal Creator God. Taste Him. Think on Him. Live with Him. Look to Him. There's a Robert Murray McShane that said, for every look at yourself, and you could add to that every look at your children, every look at your work schedule and your deadlines, every look at the social political landscape, every look at this world, every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Him and say with Thomas, my Lord and the God of me. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, our Saviour in heaven, we do confess on this beautiful Sabbath day that you have made for us and you have made us for it, that you and you alone are our eternal Creator God. You are our Saviour and King, and we love you. And we pray not only today, but in the weeks and months and perhaps even years that unfold before us in this place, that we would see Him ever more clearly, that we would delight in Him, that we would look to our Savior, to the glory of God the Father. We pray all these things knowing that you hear and you answer us. In His name we pray. Amen.